I want to talk this morning about a closer walk with God, continuing to grow is specifically what I want to talk about this morning. First of all, just for a little introduction, growth is necessary in all areas of life. It's necessary in our business, in our science, industry, and so forth. And this is especially true in our lives as Christians. In Ephesians 4, 14, and 15, it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Then in 1 Peter 2, and 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And then 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Excuse me. And then in 2 Thessalonians 1:3 it says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. But spiritual growth must be well-rounded, balanced growth. The Christian must grow in knowledge, in zeal, in faith, in Christ-like character, in good works. The Christian must not be full of knowledge while his disposition remains unchristian-like. This lesson is intended to help us continue growing ever closer to God and more productive in our service to Jesus Christ. And it is beneficial to be aware of those things which act as hindrances to growth. So hindrances to growth, first of all, we have lack of effort. Growing in Christ is not an automatic. One may still be a babe after many years. Hebrews 5 and 13 says, but everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And then in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. So spiritual growth requires effort. But those who are spiritually lazy will simply follow the course of least resistance. Even such will forever remaineth babes, if they do not fall away altogether. Then the second thing I want to talk about here as far as hindrances to growth is discouragement. Some people make a good beginning, but get discouraged and quit. And the reasons may vary. They may have church troubles. They may have spiritual problems. They may have personal problems, lack of encouragement from others, and the list could go on. But consider the example of the Apostle Paul. Few of us would have ever had the problem he had. In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 24 through 29, it says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, saved one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, and night and day have I been in the deep. And journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon as daily the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and am I not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? So Paul had a lot of things happen that might have been discouraging for a lot of people, but they weren't for him. How many of us have had the things happen that he mentions here? He says five times he received 40 stripes. He said three times he was beaten with rods. He says once he was stoned. He says once he was shipwrecked. He says, all of these things have happened. You know, he's gone through robberies. He's gone through all these things, but yet he was not discouraged. Yet he did not lose heart. He did not become discouraged. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Why? Because he knew his labor was not in vain. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through the 5th chapter, verse 1, it says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and an eternal weight of glory. For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And so he was encouraged. And so he does encourage us not to grow weary in doing well. Galatians 6 and 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And then in 1 Corinthians 15:58 he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye knew that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So the third thing we have here, as far as a hindrance, is the law of disuse. An example, a knife stays bright when used, but unused, it becomes rusty. So it is with Christians. We lose that knowledge, ability, and opportunity we have when we do not use them. To use another metaphor, unless we are earnest in our endeavor, we simply drift away from our Lord. Hebrews 2 and 1 says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip away." Then the fourth thing as far as hindrances to growth is the law of interference, I'll call it. The law of interference. Crops, trees, and flowers do not grow well when crowded. So our spiritual growth will be hindered if we allow others to crowd out our spiritual life. Businessmen may become too busy to attend God's business. A woman may get so preoccupied with housekeeping and raising her family that she has little time for God. Young people may be so have so little time for God because they're so busy with school activities that prayer, worship, good works, and Bible study are crowded out. Even evangelists might become so tied down with meetings, problems in the congregations, and so forth, that they too do not have time to spend alone with God. Jesus warned about the danger of interference. In Mark, the 4th chapter, verses 18 and 19, it says, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." So in an effort to prevent succumbing to these hindrances, here are some suggestions for continuing your spiritual growth. First of all, remain active in the work of the congregation. Begin that immediately. It is important not to delay. Remember the hindrances I talked about a little bit ago? There is work for everyone, and it is best to start with something that you are able to handle. Even the most humble servant can be a source of joy for those who are doing it to please God. Psalms 84 and 10 says, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." John 13, verses 12 through 17 says, "For after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Lord and Master, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." So offer your services to your elders. Your elders, Bob, Mike, Lowell, Carol, they will all be glad to find work for you to do in keeping with your ability. Sometimes they might hesitate to call on people for work if they're not sure that the people are willing. But let them know that you have the attitude of Isaiah when he says, "Here am I, send me." Isaiah 6 and 8 says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." Look for work needing to be done. The best servant is the one who can see things to be done and does them without having to be told every step to take. Most of us are good critics, but here's how we can put that ability to good use. Whenever we see something we want to criticize, take that as an opportunity to show, not tell, how it should be done. Someone else's failure is often our opportunity to be of service. In other words, don't criticize, energize. Start a program of regular private devotions. Spend time each day alone with God, engaged in prayer, Bible study, singing praises. Maybe when you first get up in the morning, if you get up about 15 minutes earlier than you usually do, spend that first 15 minutes of your day, begin your day in study of God's word and prayer. And whatever you want to do, just devote a few minutes to Him as you start your day. Such time consistently spent will supply the spiritual nourishment necessary for spiritual growth. Many Christians do not grow because they try to exist on a spiritual starvation diet. Participate in an informal study group. Meet regularly with Christians in an informal setting to study the Bible together. I heard what Kelly and Allison are doing on Thursday nights to try to get us. They have that study on Thursday nights. So try to meet regularly in an informal setting. You can discuss things there that many times we don't discuss it at church. You can personalize it, get it down to level that many of us need to hear to get it to apply the scriptures to our lives, so we can apply that to our lives and talk about personal circumstances. This provides opportunity for mutual sharing and encouragement, which leads to even more knowledge and spiritual growth. And then become involved in leading people to Christ. Begin implementing opportunities to share the gospel. Even if you don't do the actual teaching, you can do what Andrew and Philip did, which is lead a friend to Christ. In John, the first chapter, starting with verse 40, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messias, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth unto Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? Peter saith unto him, Come and see. Those involved in leading others to Christ rarely ever stop growing in Christ themselves. Practice constant self-examination. The scripture calls us to examine ourselves in our own relation to Christ. In 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, it says, Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Now here are some suggestions we should often ask ourselves. And those suggestions are, A, do I have a better Bible knowledge than 1 year ago? B, am I as interested in Jesus Christ today as when I was baptized? C, have I helped someone else to become a Christian? D, am I enjoying life as a child of God? E, am I improving my life, my disposition, and becoming more like Christ? F, do I set a good example for other Christians? I put a picture of Karen and I on the bottom of this. I don't know if all of you can see it, but that kind of goes along with F. I think about the good example we can set for others, our younger ones. Whether you be a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, just a friend in the church, whoever you are, the examples that you can set is so important to those young people as they're growing up. So set a good examples for our younger people. Am I growing in such activities? This is G. Am I growing in such activities as Bible study, prayer, worship? And then self-examination is not an easy process, but true spiritual growth is impossible without it. That brings me to my conclusion this morning. First of all, if we implement the suggestions in this lesson, we will successfully embark on a spiritual journey with Christ that will last through eternity. And it is sad, but true, that many Christians are often just religious enough to be miserable, but the life of the Christian is intended to be one fulfilled with love, joy, peace, and so much more, as it says in the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. My third point on my conclusion is that it is my prayer that this lesson will be useful in helping you to truly experience the abundant life that Jesus provides. John 10 and 10 says, The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 through 25, And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Growth is necessary in all areas of life, especially in our lives as Christians. No matter how much we've matured and grown, there is always room for growth in our spiritual lives. Let each and every one of us walk with God and strive to grow closer to Him. Maybe you're here today and would like to begin your walk with God and start becoming closer to Him. Maybe you at one time started your walk with God, but have erred and would like to make confession so that you can become and grow closer to Him again. Maybe you'd like to join this congregation today in their efforts to walk and grow closer to God. Whatever your need, we ask as you come and sing, or come forward as we stand and sing this invitation song.